Good morning. We just had a very lively song. You can do better than that. Good morning.
Good morning.
That's better. I'm excited to be back. I can tell that you're disappointed I've returned, but never mind. Anyway, it's good to be back with you. It's been exam results this week. Who's had exam results this week or is getting them in the coming week? Anybody? Some people? A few? Yeah, quite a few upstairs. Yeah. Okay, it's been exam results. It's a big day for many people. A-level and AS-level results on Thursday just gone, and GCSE results coming up next Thursday. Big days for lots of young people, and days for some that are really joyful days, days where perhaps they got the results they were hoping for, or got the results that got them to the university that they want to go to, or onto the next step of education, or study, or training, or whatever it might be. For others, sometimes it can be a day that's quite a hard day, and a day that can be a sad and a difficult day. For me, certainly, when I got my AS level results, it was not a good day. Believe it or not, in my AS level results, AS level religious studies, I got a D. There we go, it says good things, doesn't it? Which, bearing in mind, I knew I already wanted to go on and study theology, to do religious studies. It wasn't ideal, we'll put it that way. And it was, I don't know if it still is quite the same, but when you apply to universities, they put quite a lot of stock in what you got at AS level as to, you know, how you'll do at A2 and whether they want to give you a place or not. So sometimes it's a day that we can perhaps be very aware of our failure, of where we have fallen short and not done as maybe we had hoped to. Perhaps at any time where we get assessed in some way, it can be very joyful, or a time where we're very aware that we've messed up and we've done wrong. We're very aware in the story of Jonah, aren't we, of how Jonah has messed up and done wrong. We've been through it, as Helen helped us think about it, this kind of first act of the story of Jonah. That Jonah was told by God that God led him and told him to go to Nineveh. He led him on that journey and told him what he was to do and where he was to go. But Jonah decided he would turn around and go in the other direction. And then we've seen how God then listens to Jonah's prayer as he's in the belly of this big fish and cries out to God, asking him to rescue him, recognizing how far he's turned away from God. Jonah really messed it up. Jonah really got it wrong, and he knew it. He found himself in a big mess. And then, to me, this really amazing thing happens at the start of chapter 3, which we can kind of ignore very easily because it's just a few words. But as Helen said, this kind of second act that begins, that the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I gave you. God comes and he asks Jonah again to go to Nineveh. Jonah. Jonah, the one who, when he asked the first time, went in completely the opposite direction. Didn't just say, well, I'm quite happy where I am, maybe I'll go and do it later. Went the other way. Jonah, who nearly got a whole bunch of people killed on a ship in a storm because he was disobeying God. Jonah, who ended up having been thrown in the sea and swallowed by a big fish and crying out to God because he got it so, so wrong. And yet God comes back to him and says again, will you go and do what I've asked you? Jonah turns back to God, and God lets him have a second chance. And how often, how easily we think that God couldn't use us because we're not good enough, or because we didn't do what he asked us before. It's quite often the way that we treat others, isn't it? I know that I very easily offer something to someone. I give someone an opportunity. I offer something and say, well, if you don't take it, that's fine, you've missed out. Even with my children. Would you like a biscuit? No. Right, well, you've missed out then. I'll eat it. You don't get a second chance. Well, not with me and not with food. But we often treat others that way, don't we? Well, you had your chance and you missed it. And yet, even though Jonah disobeyed God, even though he went in completely the opposite direction, God still wants him. God still comes to him a second time. And God says that wherever we are, he still wants you. God still has a plan for Jonah. And whatever we've done, God still has a plan for us. God still has a purpose for him something for him to do. And God has a purpose for you too. Perhaps though some, as you listening to this, you still think, well, that's all right for Jonah, it's all right for other people, but it's not okay for me. I'm still not good enough. It's okay for Jonah, but you don't know about what I've done. You don't know about what's really in my life. Jonah, he might have not done what God asked him to when God asked him to do something, but I've done all sorts of things that God told me not to do. But the thing is, it's not just Jonah who gets a second chance in this story. It's not just Jonah that's given a second chance by God, but actually the whole people of Nineveh, this huge city that takes three days for Jonah to walk through it. Jonah comes and gives them this message that in 40 days they're going to be overthrown, that in 40 days the city is going to be destroyed. I don't know what people would do in London or in Slough if someone came and said in 40 days it's all going to be destroyed, it's going to be overthrown. I don't know how people would respond, but the people in Nineveh have a very strong response. First off, the thing that they do that perhaps not many of us would do is that they believe what God is saying to them through Jonah. They believe this message that's coming to them, that actually they've been living so badly, so wrong, doing so many things that God doesn't want them to do, that God is going to wipe them out. And then they start to fast. They stop eating. They don't even let their animals eat and drink. And then they put on sackcloth. They might like to grab those little bits of sackcloth that you had a moment ago. They start wearing sackcloth from the greatest to the least. Even the king puts on sackcloth and sits in the dust. Now, perhaps sackcloth like this is something that we don't really understand, because other than sack races, as Helen was telling us about, we don't really have much to do with sacks at all, really, and certainly wouldn't consider it as an option for clothing. But sometimes we do take things or have things to remind us of something. Who's been on holiday in the last kind of couple of months? Anyone been on holiday? Good, some people. Who's been on holiday, brought something back with them, be it a postcard or something more, to remind them of where it is they've been and what they were doing or who they saw or whatever, yeah? So we get this idea that sometimes we have something to kind of remind us of where it is that we've been or to keep us thinking about something. Marshall this morning is even sporting a very fine Ugandan shirt. Marshall was with us in Uganda, and right at the end, everyone in the group was given an article of clothing. The men got very nice Ugandan shirts. The ladies got handmade, custom-made dresses. You can look forward to perhaps seeing something of that if you come to our feedback evening. But Marshall has put on his Ugandan top this morning. I'm guessing not just because none of his other clothes have been washed yet. I'm guessing it's a sense of remembering and reminding him, and some of us too, about all the people that we met in Uganda, and that as we gather here, they gather too and worship God together. It's a way of reminding us about something. We're quite good at doing that with positive things, with good things that we want to remember. We're not always so good at doing it about things that maybe we're sorry about or we're sad about. Sometimes maybe you see a footballer wear a black armband, or someone in sport wearing black, or we sometimes might wear black for some occasions, as just a way of showing that there's something that we are sad about, or something that we are sorry about. I apologize if the choice of team offends you up there. I have no bias in any way, shape, or form. But sometimes we might just do something to show that we're sad or we're sorry. And for the people in Nineveh, putting on sackcloth was a way of showing just that, of a way of showing how serious they were about what they'd done wrong. That actually, like we said, sackcloth is something that's really uncomfortable. You're not going to forget that that's what you're wearing, because it's itchy and it's not very nice. And it was a way for them to keep on being reminded of actually that they'd done wrong and they needed to say sorry to God. They didn't eat. Sometimes maybe we if we're sad about something, we might not eat so much, or we might eat very simple food. Maybe sometimes we fast when we want to come to God. And fasting is a way that we can be reminded to pray when we stop eating, a reminder that actually we need God more than we need food. They came and in a very physical way showed God how sorry they were and reminded themselves of what they'd done wrong. But they were more than just sad and sorry. They didn't just come to God and kind of say, oh, we're really sorry for all these things done wrong. They'd actually did something much more than that. Verse 8, the king says this, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Let them give up the things that they'd done wrong, their evil ways, the things that God hadn't wanted to do them to do, and their violence. The people of Nineveh had been really bad, but they were more than just sorry. They realized that they needed to change their ways. The word repentance in the Bible is a word that talks not just about being sorry for things we've done wrong, but actually making a U-turn, turning away from the things we've done wrong and going in a different direction. Just as Jonah this time obeyed God when he was given a second chance, he had to go and do as God had asked. So the people of Nineveh changed their ways and turned around. When I got my AS level results and I found that I had a D in religious study, I was pretty sad. In fact, truth be told, I can remember very well being on the phone to my mum and crying down the phone. That deserves an R, please. Thank you. So I sympathise with those who maybe didn't get the results that they were hoping for this week or may struggle next week. It wasn't a good day. But actually, it was something that God very much used for me. He used it partly in a way of changing the direction that I was thinking about going, and I probably wouldn't be in the place that I am today had that not happened. But also, I was given a second chance. The glorious thing of being able to retake exams is that you get a second chance. But of course, I couldn't just go into those exams a year later and just try again. I had to work for it. I had to change some of the ways that I was doing things and to work harder, and there were changes that needed to be made. God spoke through all of that and changed some of the direction of my life. It wasn't just enough to get a second chance, but we have to take it and at times very much change our ways. And the good news right at the end of this chapter is what says in verse 10. When God saw that what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented, he changed his mind and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. God saw what they did and God gave them a second chance, just as he does with us. So often we're impatient with each other and we don't give each other second chances. But God is patient with us and he gives us a second chance. It says this in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. When we confess and we say we're sorry, when we turn to God, he's the one who gives us a second chance. And as we continue in our service now and as we head towards communion, we're going to take an opportunity to do just that and to come before God and to say sorry to him and turn back where we know we've done wrong.